Hey there, it's Nick. Before I start the show, I wanted to ask you for a favor. I'm putting together another dreams episode, but in order to make that happen, I need your dreams. Right now, I'm especially interested in dreams that involve sleep paralysis, false awakenings, or lucid dreams. But really, you can share any dream that you want. You can record it on our website, secretshotline.org. Thanks.
Hi, Nick. I'm calling with a tame but true secret. I'm actually curious if other people do this. I was married for 5 years, and now I'm not. But after spending a long time with another human in bed with me, I crave that sensation of just like another being around me to be able to go to sleep at night. And when I haven't wrangled in a man from Hinge or from my regular contact list of beings, what I do is I create a pillow man, I guess you could call it. it's not exactly a pillow man. It's like, it's kind of like I take my pillows at night and I put like one pillow, you know, to the side of me and then like multiple pillows to the other side of me. So it's almost like those weird bumper things that you put in the cradle of infants, you know, so they, you know, they don't flip themselves over. I find it very comforting, the sensation of something around me, which, you know, listening to myself say this sounds quite sad. but yeah.
I am 44, going to be 45 in July, and I come from a background of alcoholics and drug addicts. I've never done drugs, drink every once in a while, but my older brother passed from alcoholism 2 years ago. My younger brother is sober from alcoholism. My mom is sober from alcoholism, and I've always been the smart, strong one, and I can just casually drink. But what everybody doesn't know is that I drink pretty much every night. My dad recently just got sober, and I'm always the one that's like, yeah, get sober, I'm the good one. And no one knows that I'm struggling in my head. So, yeah, good times. I'm actually drinking now. Cheers.
Hey there, it's Nick. I just wanted to take a minute to let you know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm very appreciative of everyone who calls into the hotline, and I think most of you who have gotten something out of it. But as much as I hate to admit it, calling some weirdo podcast is definitely not a substitute for a qualified therapist. It's great to say things out loud, but it's even more helpful to have your thoughts reflected back to you by a trained professional. Way before BetterHelp was even a thing, I personally saw a therapist for many, many years, and I consider it an integral part of my self-development. Being able to observe yourself from a distance is an incredibly powerful tool for breaking out of habits, learning positive coping skills, and learning to set boundaries with the people in your life. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, and given the calls we get on the show, I'd say that's pretty likely, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You can learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/secretshotline today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/secretshotline. Thank you, BetterHelp, for supporting the podcast. Okay, back to the show.
Hey there. I'm on my break right now from work. Actually, I just kind of took a break because I was feeling like antsy. But this has been on my mind for a minute. And I've been thinking about it constantly. So a really long time ago, maybe not that long ago, like 2019, I like cheated on the person I was dating at the time, who was a guy. And I did it because I had to find out if I was gay or not. I did it, and I found out I was gay, obviously. The reason why I wanted to share this just because I was in a relationship with a guy who had narcissistic personality disorder. And this is like a common thing that I'm finding. Lots of people are in these types of relationships. And so he was like super emotionally abusive and homophobic. And I couldn't tell him anything. So that's why I cheated. And I feel like people get like a really bad rap for cheating because of like faithfulness and shit. But we don't live in a world anymore where like faithfulness is like a thing. Like no one really gets married anymore, really. I mean, at least not to my knowledge, at least if you're gay. But I wanted to share again because there's a lot of women out there who stay in these cishet relationships because they feel scared, because they don't know themselves, because they think that being with a man is going to be safe. I have met a few people who are in the same situation as me. I think if you cheat, it has nothing to do with the other person that you're with. It has to do with you. It's all about you and what's going on in your mind. And I don't like it when people are like, oh, if you cheat, you're a fucking dick. It's horrible. You should never do it. It's just like, well, not everyone does it to be a dick. It's all about what's going on in the cheater's mind. When I cheated on my ex, he never found out, but I dated this girl and we didn't have sex. We didn't do anything. We just kind of like explored the city we live in and hung out. And that's when I realized, oh, it's not a physical thing. It's actually an emotional thing. I'm missing so much. I'm with this man who doesn't listen to my feelings. And then I just kind of rely on him for all this shit. I was like, I don't need him. I don't need that. I need the things that make me happy. And so I left him. We were together for about like 4 years. And this girl I dated for a summer, basically. She didn't find out and no one found out. So life's too short, you know? I was like suicidal. I thought there was something wrong with me. Because I was like, oh, I'm in this relationship. That's great. We live together. We do all this stuff together. Blah, 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 blah. We have this life. And then I'm just like, oh, why am I not happy? I'm not happy. I'm so depressed every day. Like something's missing. And then I found out that I'm just gay. And that's fine. I mean, growing up, no one ever explicitly told me to date a man. No one told me to marry a man. But it's just so ingrained in society that it's just like, it seems like, I don't know, it's like the only thing we know. Like, especially when I was growing up, lesbians were considered fake or gross or perverted. And if you admitted to being one, you'd be shunned, you know, in school. People would pick on you. So I identified as bi for a really long time, but even then I didn't even tell anyone. When I got older, I was like, oh, wait a second. They do exist, and I'm one of them. And I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. I can be whoever I want. I just wanted to share that because I know there's people out there who are probably in the same situation. And you know, it's okay. If you cheated, it's okay. Sure, you hurt the other person's feelings, maybe. But like, it's all about you and what you want. And if you're stuck in this shitty situation, or in a situation where you don't love your partner, and you're like, why don't I love my partner? Like, you gotta figure that shit out. I also wanted to share because cheating isn't necessarily about a person just wanting to sleep with other people. Sometimes they just want a different relationship. They want to express certain feelings that they're able to express to someone. They want to share the companionship that's right for them. Now I left him and I have a whole different life now. And I have a girlfriend and we live together. And I've never been happier. So, if you're gay, just fucking do it.
I was listening to the show last night while trying to get some sleep, and I came across an episode from way back where a woman was talking about how she faked orgasms to essentially make her partners feel better. It reminded me of the times I've done it in the past. You see, I suffer from what's known as delayed ejaculation. I didn't really think this to be a bad thing at first, but my first two partners I only slept with once and it took a lot to finish. I actually didn't during the first two. I told the other one that I did after the condom we wore broke, but that's neither here nor there. But then the woman I ended up marrying, the first time we went long enough for me to finish, it was like almost an hour, and that was between the two of us and we were determined to make it happen. It was insane, and throughout the course of our 15 years together, I'd say maybe it only ever happened 5 times. I didn't really think it was that much of a problem. I just thought, hey, I'm all about you. I'll do everything you want. But she was not interested in all the other stuff. So after we got divorced, I ended up meeting a woman that was interested in me. I was blown away. We had crazy sex, but I never finished for her. And then other partners. There are certain things that I know will work, but I was so worried about them that I wasn't focusing on myself. And it turns out, no, that's actually this delayed ejaculation thing. I'm now with a woman who I absolutely love and adore, and I want to please in any way I can. She shared with me how she thinks that it's a failure on herself that she can't make it happen for me. It has happened a few times with her, more than any other woman. But it's actually pretty embarrassing and pretty screwed up that it takes so long for that kind of thing to happen. The stereotype is that men just pump 2 times and come and it's over. And here I am, fucking for 20 minutes to 45 and I'm still in the same place I was in the beginning. I've tried medication. I've tried other things. But with delayed ejaculation, it's like, sorry about your luck, dude. Some people would love to have your problem. All I know is, I'm with a woman who is exactly everything I've always wanted, and I'm still having this problem. I don't know what to do about it, and it's pretty embarrassing. I don't know if there are other guys out there like me that have this issue, but ladies, there are some of us who last longer than 2 pumps, and regrettably longer than 470, or over 1,000. I'm not tooting my own horn, because it actually really sucks. I envy these guys who can finish quickly. It would be great if you could change my voice to someone, I don't know, Canadian or Nigerian or something.
Okay, that was the phone call. This is Nicholas Sardine Punch Punch Van Der Kolk speaking now. Sorry, dude, I don't have any Canadian or Nigerian voices at my disposal. But thank you for calling. By the way, if anyone wants to make use of the AI voice changing service, please leave a message at secretshotline.org and not the usual hotline number, like this caller did. It doesn't work so well with phone quality tape, which is why this voice sounds so stiff and weird.
I'm calling in response to the Jewish listener who called in about some conflicting feelings they were having about Palestine.
I want Israel to exist. I think, at least I think I do.
And I wanted to respond as someone who is also Jewish and who considers myself an anti-Zionist. I wanted to respond specifically to something you said about feeling like the idea that a state of Israel not existing is bad or scary. I sort of wanted to offer you an alternative to that, which is that I think as Jewish people, we've been taught our whole lives that Jewish safety is to be found in the state of Israel. But what was left out of the story was that promise of safety was made at the expense of Palestinian lives and Palestinian dignity. And I think as Jews and as many marginalized groups, we can look to our history and see that true safety isn't found in ethno-states, it isn't found through militarism or nationalism. Instead, it's found through solidarity, through being in community with others. Not that that is easy to do, but when I fight for a free Palestine, I know that I'm fighting for a future where all of us are free and are safe in this world. There are thousands of Jewish people like you who are having those same thoughts. We're out here and we're ready to welcome you as we fight for justice in this world.
I have a secret, and I was wondering if you could change my voice to like a high-pitched helium voice. I think that would be funny. My secret is the other day, someone called in with their own secret about their friend who worked at a retirement home.
One day I was talking that I like older men, and she said, wow, me too.
I don't know why, and I don't want to really investigate it too much because I thought the whole thing was really disturbing, the whole story and what this person was doing. I also found myself oddly turned on. Again, don't want to investigate that too much, and I don't know why. I like no libido for a very, very, very long time. And for some reason, something about that story turned me on. So, yeah, that's the secret, because that feels really weird and odd to me.
Hey, this is just a message for the lady that left the secret about the jacking off in the captain's chair of a handicapped van. And she was saying, like, oh, sometimes I just want to call and leave messages about, like, weird things I've been thinking and stuff. Didn't know if she should. I would say she seemed like a really fucking funny person. I would like to hear more weird things that she says. So if this message gets to her, I would say call back and tell your weird stories. And if they're good, maybe Nick will put them on the podcast and we'll get to hear it. That'd be cool. All right. Thanks. Bye.
That's it for the Secrets Hotline, for now. If you have a secret you want to share, I want to hear from you. You can call 929-SECRETS, leave a message at secretshotline.org, or record a voice note and email contact at secretshotline.org. If you change your mind for whatever reason, just contact me within 24 hours, and I'll make sure your call doesn't go into the podcast. No stress. And if you can, find a quiet place to record and don't use a speakerphone or hands-free device. The quality of the call is much better when you don't. This episode featured the music of Will Bolton, Good Weather for an Airstrike, and Non-Turn. Check the show notes for the playlist. Our end theme is by Steven Jackson. The Secrets Hotline is a labor of love and radio and made possible thanks to you. Your support makes this show possible, and I'm deeply grateful for it. Thank you. I'm Nicholas Sardine Punch Punch Vanderkolk. Thanks for listening, Marade.